And let me introduce Carrie Childs, wanting and needing. So we're going from request, threatening to wanting and needing in and request and directive sequence. Carrie.
Hi, I'm Carrie Childs and I'm based here at Loughborough and I'm working with Alexa Hepburn and Derek Edwards. And I'm interested in the interactive uses of mental state expressions, in particular at the moment the word want and also need as a contrast to want. So rather than understanding mental states as things which exist in the head and then are expressed at any old time, I examine them as sequential phenomena, so as things, constructions which accomplish particular things in particular settings. So as Wittgenstein noted, words are deeds, and when people use psychological terminology, they're doing something much more interesting than labelling some private inner state. So, as I'm sure the conversation analysts amongst us won't be surprised, I found that the selection of these terms is orderly. And I became interested in the activity of requesting because when I speak to people about my research and I tell them that I'm interested in how people use the word want, the first thing that people tend to mention is requests. So they'll say, oh, I know what you mean, I want this, I want that. But my work focuses mainly upon adult speakers, and I found that typically adults don't build requests using I want. Rather, they use I want to preface particular types of directives, which I'm going to outline today. And then for the sake of comparison, I'm going to discuss one recurrent environment in which I found speakers build requests using I need. And I think this is an interesting comparison to make because according to the referential theory of meaning, and also it's reasonably assumed that we use these words when they're true. So we use the word want to refer to an inner experience of desire, and we reserve the word need for special situations where the projected object is really, really important. But I'm going to be taking a different view today. So my approach is largely informed by discursive psychology with a focus upon the analysis of psychological themes. And I also draw upon the techniques of conversation analysis. And the analysis draws upon a corpus of family mealtime data featuring one family which I recruited through personal contacts, in addition to approximately 20 hours of fly on the wall documentary series, which each document the lives of a particular family over an extended period of time. And I also make use of the mealtime data which is available in the archives of the Discourse and Rhetoric Group. I've been told to be specific that it's only available to people here at Loughborough University. One paper which is particularly relevant to the analysis which I'm going to be discussing today is Curl and Drew's examination of requests in calls between family members and out-of-hours calls to the doctor. And they were comparing modal requests such as can you X, can I X, to those prefaced by I wonder if. And they found that requests prefaced by I wonder if were more common in out-of-hours calls to the doctor. So rather than explaining this distributional difference in terms of the context and the institutional setting, they examine how speaker selection between the two reflects speakers' orientations, their entitlement to make the request, and their understanding of the contingencies involved in the recipient granting the request. And they show how using an I wonder if preface is a way to display one's lack of entitlement to having a request granted, or one's awareness of the contingencies surrounding the grant of the request. So in the first part of my analysis today, I'm going to be discussing a particular environment in which speakers preface directives with I want. So rather than talking some more now, I'll show you two extracts. And the first of these features Pat, her son Kevin, 17, and Grant, 19, and Grant's just about to leave the house.
Okay, Kevin, Grant, I want you back here by 6, right?
Right, I'm not doing anything.
You're not going good. Okay, Grant?
Yeah?
You'll be back by 6 o'clock.
I'll be back here as soon as possible.
Okay.
Have a safe, we'll see you.
And this second extract, which is taken from the Crouch data, which Alexa showed us before, So we've got Anna, age 3, on the left, and Beth, Catherine, age 4, on the right. And this is taken from the end of a family meal, breakfast time.
Emily, I want you to eat your fruit in your lunchbox today. Right, you'll know you have your fruit at snack time, but you also need to eat your fruit at lunchtime. Okay, because you never do, and it's a waste of fruit, but it's very important that you have fruit.
Okay, so as you can see, there are several features which are typical of the environment in which speakers preface directives with I want. First, this format is selected when the speaker is directing the recipient on something which is their business. And for the speaker, the projected action is a be event. And by a be event, I mean something which the recipient has primary access to relative to the speaker. And second, speakers select this format when the projected action is deferred. So the term makes relevant a commitment to a future activity rather than immediate embodied compliance. So in extract 1, Graham is told to be back home by a certain time, and in extract 2, Catherine's told to eat the fruit in a lunchbox at school that day. So there are several circumstances which are likely to have an influence upon the construction of term types in this environment. First, there are contingencies which must be managed when directing someone on something which is their business. And second, as the projected action is deferred, speakers do not have resources such as physical force available to them to force an unwilling recipient to carry out the projected action. So while speakers who issue deferred action directives don't have resources such as physical force available to them, there are resources when issuing a directive to increase the likelihood of compliance. First, the use of an I want preface invokes relative deontic authority, and by that I mean the authority to give orders, as it were, and to involve oneself in another's business without being asked to do so. Second, speakers can maintain civil relations with a recipient by orienting to the projected action as the recipient's business. And this is done by building directives as a my side telling. According to Pomerantz, by telling their side of some relevant matter, speakers can fish for a response rather than directly asking for one. And in doing so, they display an orientation to the projected action as the recipient's business. So I want preface directives then, a Janus faced, and on the one hand, they invoke authority and entitlement, and on the other hand, they orient to optionality and appear to give the recipient a way out. So let's look at extract 1 in more detail. The target term has a clear sense of telling rather than asking. As a declarative, it doesn't solicit a yes-no response, and so propose defiance as a response option. In contrast to classic request forms such as CANUX, the modal, I want, indexes the speaker and attends to her wants and wishes rather than the contingencies of the recipient. However, on the other hand, the I want preface changes the grammar of the term. So just like the requests in Curl and Drew's data, rather than being told to do something, the speaker's want is simply reported. And this generates an environment where the wanting may be satisfied or not. So there's an orientation to optionality, and the term appears to give the recipient a way out. So formally, the recipient is not told what to do, as with classic directives, and neither are they asked to do something, as with classic request forms. And here, following non-response, we can see that there's an initial orientation to optionality, which is closed down. So at line 21, the directive is redone, using a bold imperative format, you'll be back here by 6 o'clock. So the gap between thought and action, and the possibility that the intention may be realised or not, is closed down. Now I'm going to move on briefly to discuss one environment in which I found that speakers build requests using I need. And this is in second position following a request or directive from an interlocutor, where they're constructed as a prerequisite to compliance with the base first pair part. And these terms gain their sense as something which is needed from this sequential positioning. So I'll show you two extracts again. And this is taken from the family meal time. We have Don on the left, Judy on the right, and Wade on the right, just out of the camera shot. And the extract begins as Don passes a napkin to Wade. And the second extract is taken from the same family, and it's a recurring theme within this family that Wayne doesn't eat enough of his dinner because he's keen to go out and play with his friends. Okay, so in each of the arrow turns on the slide here, some aspect of the recipient's conduct is specified. So in the first example, albeit in a manner which is oriented to as non-serious, Dawn instructs Wayne to wipe his arse on a napkin. And in the second example, Judy tells Wayne to eat his remaining food and to stay sitting at the dinner table. With a non-ironic, Yeah, and in each example, the request our directive is responded to with an I need request, which launches an insert sequence. So we'll look at the second example in some more detail. There are two directives within this extract. The first at line 3, well, you can eat them too. And then at lines 15 to 16, you're not going anywhere, so you might as well eat them. And the target term, I need a drink, formulates a precondition to compliance with the directive to stay sitting at the table. So to be able to sit at the table, you need to drink. And it's a key feature I found of these sequences that the I need request, if complied with, will allow more effective compliance with the base request. So here, if he gets a drink, he can stay at the table for a longer period of time than he'd be able to do otherwise. So rather than being rejection implicative, these terms align with the instructions in the base first pair part. And notably, as a base request, the directive to eat more food doesn't get a response, and rather ingeniously, Wayne subverts the promissory nature of insert sequences, which come before the base second pair part, to get himself off the hook. So these turns, rather than being something which is an intrinsic feature of the projected action, gain their sense as something which is necessary due to their sequential positioning. So in summary, I've shown one environment in which speakers preface directives with I want, which is as a way of managing the contingencies involved with directing someone on something which is their business, when one cannot monitor or control whether the action will be carried out. I've then shown one environment in which speakers build requests using I need, which is in second position following a request or directive from an interlocutor. And these turns gain their sense as something which is necessary due to this sequential positioning. So my findings contrast with a referential theory of meaning and dominant views of want as an expression of an inner desire and of need as a reflection of an object or action which is essential for some function.
Thank you. Good. Good time for questions, observations, comments. hear some cogitations and thought gatherings going on. Yes.
Did you find that all the want requests had were marked in some way, expanded? Because the examples you showed were, I want you to be back here. And then she says, right. And then again, you'll be back here. And also the one with the fruit box, it was, then she's going into explaining why she would need to eat the fruit. So did you find this in all the want requests? Or and not in the need requests in comparison?
The I want requests, they do tend to be accepted. And also, especially the need requests, they, because of this sequential positioning, they're a part of an insert sequences. I need requests tend to be complied with pretty much straight away, non-problematic, yeah.
John, are you scratching your ear with intent? You're sitting next to Kristen, of course, and we're talking about auctions later on, so you may be not just scratching your ear.
I've heard your answers look really interesting. I mean, just, I suppose the second thing in South Africa, I just wonder whether the referential theory might argue back and say that what you have here is people formulating necessities versus people formulating wants, and those are different objects. And then of course when the mother says, I want you to eat your fruit, I mean that isn't a necessity. I mean that is just a state of place that the mother wants to bring about. Whereas when the kid says he needs a drink, he's offering that as a stronger requirement than the sort of mere parental want who really does something. So I'm just wondering whether someone might mind to
Well, regardless of if people do have desires or not, I think it's interesting that I've found that they're well, I'm not saying that they are expressed, but that people formulate them in particular environments. So when they're telling someone to do something and that action is in the future, and it's those environments where people formulate their wants.
Okay, good. I think we better move on, Derek, because of time is moving on. But thanks once again to Karen.